The world's biggest gambling hub faces a high-stakes regulatory shuffle, sending key share prices tumbling today. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Next year is a crucial one for Macau's casino operators. That's because 20-year licenses for six companies operating in the Chinese territory are up for renewal. But for companies like Wynn Resorts, MGM, and Las Vegas Sands, it's unclear how the rebidding process for those licenses will work or what new guidelines might be put in place. Macau's Secretary for Economy and Finance gave notice of a 45-day consultation period that starts today for what should come next, noting he believes there are deficiencies in supervision over the industry. The special administrative region covers just 12 square miles, and it follows the same one country, two systems political model that Hong Kong uses. That guarantees a high degree of autonomy while also allowing Beijing to control defense and foreign affairs. For a place heavily reliant on revenue from the gambling industry, though, this latest rule change is worrying many companies. And as the BBC's Katie Silver explains, there have been sharp share price declines today in reaction.
Yeah, well, markets here in Asia really followed the US. And we saw, for example, casino stocks lose about a third of their value, almost $14 billion in Hong Kong trading. Now, some of the biggest losers, for example, were Wynn Macau, which lost about 34%. We also saw big falls from the likes of Sands China, as well as MGM China. And this actually dragged the broader Hang Seng Index down about 1.8%. And this is because, of course, they're weary of all of these different crackdowns that we've seen at the hands of Beijing on so many different sectors, tech, education, liquor, property, for example. But we even heard, for example, from JP Morgan, and they've downgraded all their Macau gaming names.
And it's so far pretty unclear what exactly is going to happen in Macau. Is that right? No one's really sure yet.
No, that's true. So we only heard just last night about this 45-day consultation. But in recent years, we have seen more scrutiny of the casino business in Macau. And that's because Beijing has been concerned that Macau is too reliant on this gambling revenue. So in part, for example, in recent years, we've been seeing authorities clamping down on illegal money that's coming in from mainland China. But according to authorities there, late Tuesday, they said that they're going to be looking at about nine different areas of consultation. For example, how many licenses are given out for casinos, the level of regulations that they'll receive. Perhaps, though, one of the most interesting areas that they're going to be consulting on is whether or not government representatives may be installed within the casino businesses to supervise how they operate day to day.
The BBC's Katie Silver for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thanks, Victoria.
Checking the numbers, the Hang Seng erased 1.8% in today's session, while the TOPIX fell 1% and the Shanghai Composite slid 0.2%. European shares are drifting slightly lower. Adding to concerns or worries about the stability of the Chinese economy, data today showed output in the factory and retail sectors dropped to one-year lows. A pandemic of the unvaccinated is a worry for European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, who today said efforts to supply vaccines across the world need to be sped up. In her second State of the Union address to the European Parliament, Ms. von der Leyen outlined a plan to help those efforts, as the BBC's Jessica Parker reports from Brussels.
In a wide-ranging speech, Ursula von der Leyen pledged a further 200 million vaccine doses to developing countries and emphasised the recent successes of the rollout within the EU after what was a faltering start. And in the run-up to the upcoming COP26 climate summit in Scotland, she appeared to slightly rebuke the United States on the issue of helping poorer countries transition to greener economies, saying that while the EU was proposing an additional 4 billion euros in so-called climate finance, America and others needed to step up too.
That's the BBC's Jessica Parker reporting from Brussels there. Well, Reuters reports today that India is considering resuming COVID-19 vaccine exports with a focus on getting doses to countries in Africa. That's as 61% of the subcontinent's adult population has been vaccinated against the virus. The coronavirus vaccine rollout in Africa, though, has been slow, largely due to a lack of local production capacity there. But BioNTech, which makes one of the COVID-19 vaccines with Pfizer, is looking into solutions to help with future health crises, and it's likely to start with localized production of malaria and tuberculosis shots. The BBC's Rosemary Boubatou told me more from Dakar.
BioNTech is also going to produce anti-COVID vaccine, but of course the main focus are on Africa's biggest health problems, which are at the moment malaria and tuberculosis. Those two preventable diseases kill respectively 400 and 500 people per year. And Africa accounts for 1 in 4 cases of all diagnosed cases of tuberculosis each year. And malaria, Africa is home to over 90% of malaria cases and death each year.
So at what point would they pivot to COVID-19 vaccine production? I guess this is sort of like their gateway into that.
COVID vaccine is their gateway into that. The RNA-based vaccines, the technology is already there. There is a strong need of vaccines on the continent. Africa produces generally only 1% of all the vaccine it uses, and it imports 99%. So efforts are on tuberculosis and malaria as soon as 2022, but COVID could start even earlier since the technology is already there.
Now, these new production facilities are going to be in Rwanda and Senegal. Why has BioNTech picked those two places?
Well, actually, BioNTech was advised by the African Union, the Africa CDC, and the African Medical Agency, which identified Rwanda and Senegal based on their pre-existing manufacturing capacities. Basically, those two countries are the ones who can start as early as possible.
And the most important thing about this announcement is that these vaccines that they'll be producing are going to stay on the African continent.
Absolutely. So the plan is to hand over those facilities to African countries once the technology, the know-how is there to actually manufacture themselves. It's part of the efforts of the African Union to up Africans' manufacturing capacities from 1 to 60% by 2040. This is all a continent-wide effort to make Africa more independent and more reliable when it comes to vaccine production.
The BBC's Rosemary Boubatou in Dakar for us. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you a lot.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.